Hi, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft, and today we're going to talk about SQL Server Stream Insight. Stream Insight is a technology that falls outside the normal database type technologies that do things like when you see in this view where you take disparate data sources, you pump them through an ETL process into the database management system, and then you do reporting off those things with things like OLAP cubes or reporting services or portals like SharePoint with technologies like PowerPivot and PowerView. Those things can enter the mix, but it's more of a near real-time reporting platform and technology that allows you to do complex event processing with very high throughput stream. You can do continuous and/or incremental processing on high throughput, low latency type processes. It's an event-driven type of a process that leverages development technologies like .NET and Visual Studio. It's a database technology or data-centric technology, but it's not your typical relational type database. It uses notions like adapters, so you might have an input adapter or an output adapter that is capturing events as they happen. And these events could be seemingly unrelated, but the goal of Stream Insight is to capture specific events and to look at things like patterns, relationships, gaps, things like that. They can be from multiple data sources, and you might want to trigger an immediate response action. So, for instance, if you're capturing data from a trading application, you might want to make a buy or sell decision. If you're monitoring a power grid, you might want to reroute power. If you're looking at web analytics, you might want to surface a different ad for a customer based on certain clickstream patterns that they might have. So, all those are different types of scenarios we'll get into a little bit later. But I guess the question is, what is streaming data, and more importantly, what is it not? And if you look at the relational database world, in the past you might say, how many cars in this parking lot? And a relational database would say, well, I'm going to do that by going to the parking lot, count the vehicles there, and look at the ones that are red and that are cars, and I'm going to report back. That's the way you do that. Now, you'd run a T-SQL query and you'd look for automobiles that are red, and that would give you a result, which is great. Now, if you think about that, and you want to know that question answered over the last hour, it's a little more nuanced question where you have to find out how many red cars were in this I-80 interchange over the last hour. And this is a real-time process. You're not parking the cars, but you're actually looking at them as they pass by your observation tower. So the only way from a relational standpoint to do this would be take all the cars as they come by, pull them over, park them in the lot, keep them there for an hour. At the end of the hour, count the vehicles in the lot, give the answer, and let those cars go back on their way. Now, that seems like a little bit of a unfit solution for, applications like counting cars as well as counting events in general. So if we look at this, a better way to do that would be, say, have a counter stand up on the freeway, count the red cars that go by, and give an answer immediately once that hour has passed. There's no need to stop the cars, and there's no need to quarantine them or corral them. Just count them as they come by and let all the blue cars, the black cars, the green cars go by because we don't care about those and we don't want to store all that data. So again, we're looking at data as it's in flight, near real time, and we're counting that data, looking for patterns that interest us. We've got input streams that are delivering that data to us. So in this case right here, we have an external device like a factory. That factory is generating events. You have an input adapter that can be consumed by Stream Insight. You have a standing query, much like a T-SQL query, that can do select from a certain source and then have a where clause. You can also do things like groupings on those things. So the standing queries are much like T-SQL statements in the sense that they are designed to find specific patterns in the data that you care about, that you're aware of, and that you know that there's going to be certain types of data streams and data sources that are going to fulfill those things. You might take that event data and combine it with reference data possibly. That reference data can then be combined with it to give you further insights. And output adapters can be filtered, summarized, and you can surface those up in dashboards. all this technology is really more of a development technology and a developer technology that lives in a place like Visual Studio, and it's not a place that lives in Management Studio and SQL Server, at least a Stream Insight piece. So as database professionals, we are used to living in database tools, but the tool that we're going to live in for this piece is going to be Visual Studio. So that's a little bit of a nuance to kind of get used to. But ultimately, it's going to allow us the ability to take events from a fast-moving data stream, have a query that processes those near real time, and either save those out to disk or process those further, surfaces with reference data, and then deliver it to, say, a mobile device. So again, the way that we differentiate event-driven applications versus database applications is that on a database application, you might want to have an ad hoc query or request. This is a little bit lazier because it happens over, a period of time after you store the data, as opposed to something that's a continuous standing query that's running second by second, millisecond by millisecond, versus seconds, hours, or days that might be more for a relational database. For a database application, you might be, capturing hundreds of events per second, which is a lot, but for an event-driven application, we might be monitoring tens or hundreds of thousands of events per second, but we might be only capturing, a small percent of those events because we don't want to, crush our storage systems, nor do we care about every event that happens. A lot of it's, signal to noise ratio. There's a lot of noise for a little bit of signal, so we want to capture that signal. And then the query semantics are fairly similar, but the event-driven applications have kind of a temporal aspect to them too. So we're not only considering how many cars in a parking lot, but we're actually looking at the cars that have passed by a bridge in a certain amount of time. So there's always a temporal aspect to Stream Insight because it's time-based. So some of the scenarios that you might find is that for historical trend analysis that are years or months, relational databases are fine for that. If we want to start doing things like, let me go back, like forecasting, that goes, from months into the days range. If we're doing something like web analytics, ad placements, financial services, smart grids, monitoring systems, healthcare, things like that, we're down to the minutes or seconds, and relational databases aren't always the best for that because there's just constraints that are around I/O performance as well as disk performance. So as you get over to the right side of this, you're going to find that it's going to be more difficult to run a relational database system on that. Also, this is kind of an echo of that last slide, but as your events per second, as they go to the right in terms of frequency, as those increase, and as you find that the latency that you need to process those events goes down on the latency side on the y-axis here, that you're going to find that that's going to be ideal for something like a Stream Insight application. So you want low latency and high data rate. Now, where do these technologies fit in? If you've got these data sources on the left here that are sending data over a bus, and they're getting cached, they ultimately get processed, and then they get distributed and visualized on the right side here. The question is, what technologies are going to allow this type of system to operate efficiently, where you've got a massive amount of data flowing in, and you've got to take that data, flow it through a system, and make a near real-time decision on the right side here. This slide is a little bit antiquated because it points to SQL, things like SQL Server 2008 R2. But you can see that an overlay of our technologies here and where they all fit in. So on the right here, you'd have things like SilverLight, Excel, PowerPivot, reporting services, PowerView now in the 2012 timeframe. And then as you move left here, you're going to have things like BizTalk, SQL Server analysis services, and the relational engine. And then as we move the data from left to right, we're going to have things like our ETL tool, like integration services, and our data bus is typically going to be something like BizTalk. Now, the processing of this data is going to be right here where this it says Stream Insight. So this can also be hooked into things like SQL Server Azure and leverage the Hadoop engine as well up in Azure. We'll talk about that scenario later. But just dropping this Stream Insight piece here, that's where it shows up in the context. So to look at Stream Insight from a data flow perspective, you've got a data source on the left, and then as that data comes in, you've got these standing queries in Stream Insight that you want to run these queries through. Ultimately, you're going to have an input adapter that is consumed by Stream Insight, and then Stream Insight is going to deliver that data to an output adapter, and ultimately that data is going to be consumed. And again, the rate of data that these sensors are throwing off is faster, and it's going to create more data than we really want to process or have the capacity to process and store. That's where Stream Insight comes in. A nice way to leverage Stream Insight as well is to have a kind of defense in depth type of idea. So you might have multiple layers of complex event processing here, where you have may have sensors and data sources on the outside here. They may go through several layers of complex event processing, where it's kind of like a tree structure, where you're drilling down and down and down, and each CEP or each Stream Insight device is going to, go from the edge to the mid-tier to the data center, and you might be delivering different results as the CEP servers get leveraged. So you don't have to leverage just a single complex event processing engine, but you can le actually leverage multiple as it fits your topology. Now, if you look, this is what we've been saying in terms of industry trends, that things like storing data, data acquisition costs are negligible, raw storage costs are going down, processing costs are non-negligible, and data loading costs continue to be significant. Now, the advantages of CEP or complex event processing or Stream Insight is that data is processed in flight, you don't need to load the data, and it's seamless querying of that data near real time. So it's as you go through the cycle that you're doing like things like monitoring that data, so you're recording raw data. Then after that, you're managing it via KPI triggered action. So you have a key performance indicator that's triggering an action, and then you want to mine that data. And that process keeps happening over and over and over, and it can be iterative. So in that last case, we had multiple CEP servers. In that case, you would be monitoring, managing the data, mining the data iteratively, and it could be through multiple CEP servers, or it could just be through a process where you have a single CEP server, you're monitoring the flow from left to right as you capture that data, as you process it, as you stream it to reporting type vehicles, you analyze it, and then you repeat that again and again. A really interesting scenario that I delivered a presentation today for a customer is a smart grid. And that is, you might have households with lots of power meters. You have lots of insights around the grid, including how to generate and distribute that data. Part of the Stream Insight advantage is that it scales to millions and millions of these meters. So you can have hundreds of thousands of meter readings per second. You can do things like validate, edit, estimate these rules declaratively that are leveraged on your data. It can go to very high data volumes, and you can react almost near real time to how the power grid changes. Another scenario might be clickstream analysis. You have users coming in, and you're able to see, based on the geography that you're looking at, how is my web traffic? Am I having problems? Where are my most page views? You basically create a heat map and find the top sites that you're running Stream Insight across, and finding where are my web properties the most effective, where are we having problems, where are we getting the most hits. And you can also correlate those to other factors like, is there a weather issue? Is there a national emergency? Is there a holiday? What's going on? So there's a way to correlate these streaming events with other events that may or may not seem related, and that's where you could leverage something like a SharePoint dashboard to look at things like weather conditions, news, current events, et cetera, and how those are affecting the data that you're leveraging through Stream Insight. Another example might be to look at something like financial services, looking at stock market data. Stock market data is very fast, it's constantly changing, and you want to be able to make trades based on seeing patterns in the data that are near real time. And all those things can be done by creating monitoring through Visual Studio through technologies like Link that allow you to essentially run queries on top of that data and get a near-time result that you can make decisions off of. So an example of that would be you might have a database feed that is coming from something like stock trading. That stock trading system will get fed into Stream Insight, and very quickly you could see that you can push data to dashboards to analyze that data and find out what the data is doing and make near real-time decisions off of that. So this is another example of some of the Stream Insight scenarios. Again, we have sensors, devices, bots, crawlers on the left. That data can be immediately shoved over into Stream Insight server that they can send us alerts and notifications on, and you can further process those things in reports. As well as if you want to take that same amount of data, put it in something like Hadoop on Azure, Hadoop on Windows, you might want to send it to a parallel data warehouse. You might want to leverage also an ETL process to combine that data and then report off that data as well. So you're not limited when you leverage Stream Insight just to send it Stream Insight and to do notifications on that. You can vet that through a separate, more relational system and then do reporting off that as well. So you have options there. The Complex Event Processing Engine, or Stream Insight, is leveraged through Visual Studio. So Visual Studio is very easy to use. It has you have the ability to do things like .NET development and Visual Basic .NET, C Sharp .NET, things like you can also do database type projects, reporting services, ETL tool. It's a single stop shopping for both development and database technologies. And like we said before, you leverage link type queries, which have a similar syntax to a T-SQL statement. You see down here there's a from, there's a where, there's a select statement. So it's a little bit backwards from a T-SQL statement, but it has a lot of the same components. You write these queries in a .NET technology. You also might leverage things like BizTalk to grab these events as well. And ultimately you can take all this data that you're generating from Visual Studio, and you can send this to a data warehouse or some kind of eventing engine that takes that data, analyzes it against key performance indicators you might have. Some of the features that you have in these operators, you might have things like calculations, correlations, checking for existence of data, filtering, grouping, summing, all the things that we're used to in the relational analytical world, things like top K or top N type ranking and rating systems. All these things can be applied to the data that you leverage Stream Insight, so you're not limited by the type of data that and the type of scenarios that you have in Stream Insight. And this is just an example. We talked about this earlier, but you have the from, you have things like joins, where, selects, et cetera. So all these things can be leveraged and applied in the context of Stream Insight. Okay, so we're going to move on from this. Right now I'm going to show you an example of a project that is that's a Stream Insight project, and again it's in Visual Studio. I have a text file here that I just want to talk a little bit to. It's a little bit cryptic here, but one of the things that we've got is that Stream Insight receives these events from input adapters that connect to event sources. And there's a class in .NET called an observable class. The nice part about these observable classes is that they can be converted into a stream that can then be consumed. So in this case, we have a vehicle generator.cs class. It's derived from an iObservable generic class, which has a toll point event, and that class determines the values that are returned each time an event occurs. We've also got a highway monitor. That highway monitor is nice because it's got an iObservable class that ultimately has a toll point event. So we're going to be able to create an event stream and consume that. In this .NET application, we're going to hit the start button. And what we're doing is we're going to start creating a bunch of events. These events are actually showing up down the bottom left of the screen here. And they all have a certain probability. Now, these events are happening. And just because we have a ton of events happening, they're not all going to be captured by the system. So there's only a couple events that we are concerned about, and those events are getting captured by the system here. Also, if I want to capture just say a truck event, I can run the system again, and I'm going to have a truck events being captured by the system. So there's certain events happening. Most of them we're just dumping, but the ones that we care about, we're going to look at this in the system. We're going to save those to a relational database. We may also have a counter on some, real-time monitoring application that we can say, in this case, there's, seven trucks that have passed by the intersection at a given time. Now, if we look at some of the code here, what we're going to see is that we've got a couple different classes and things happening. We're generating events, and what we're doing is we've got a StreamInsight class that has something called an observable class. That observable class allows a class to be converted into a stream that can be observed and consumed. And so in this vehicle generator class, we've got an iObservable generic class based on a toll point event. That toll point event determines values returned each time an event occurs, and you can see that this vehicle generator class is iObservable as well as it's got a toll point event. So iObservable can be subscribed to, so those events can be subscribed to, and then the onNext method that we'll see a little bit later allows each subscriber to receive the event from the toll point event. So both the iObservable event and the onNext method allow each subscriber to receive the events that are thrown off by these iObservable events. If I just look to the code and I've tagged it with my initials here, let's just go through these real quick and look at some of these things. So in this case, we're creating a complex event processing server. And then after that point, what we're doing is we're creating this generator that's got a that takes an application as an argument. We've got this toll point event, and we've got this observable stream. So in this case, we've got also the ability to look at this data, and again, we start seeing the syntax, the from, the where, the select, and in one case, we can look for just specific type of truck events. In the other case, we can look for this generic event that includes truck events and other events. And this is where in the application we actually filtered out the truck events where we just want to look at those specifically. Now let's go through our application. This is the Highway Monitor main. Let's go over to our next item and let's look at the type of events that are happening. So we've got an ambulance event, a taxi event, a truck event. And this was called a power event. We'll just change that to car. So these events happen with a certain probability. We may not care about car events. We may care about just bus events or truck events. So we might just be filtering a specific type of event that we care most about. And so that's where you can start filtering these events that happen with specific watchers that look just for the events that you care most about. And just to reiterate, this vehicle generator event is derived by iObservable generic class, meaning it's observable, and that supports the ability to subscribe to it. And the vehicle generator is based on a toll point event. That toll point event then determines the values that are returned. So it's essentially throwing off these events that are being captured and subscribed to. And this is just some of the code. You can see that this class, this vehicle generator class, is iObservable as well as it has this toll point event. So that's where you're kind of wrapping these different notions together, where you can actually have an event generator that you can subscribe to, as well as you can leverage this onNext method down here in the vehicle event class that allows each subscriber or an observer to look at the event. And monitor those and capture the ones they care most about. So again, once all that is run, you can run that, and then you can see that we're looking at specific type events, and we might care about all events, In this case, we're looking at trucks and cars, and you can see in the bottom left, they're happening with certain frequency. Or we can pause it and say, you know what, we want that link clause and that where clause to just filter out the truck events. And based on those truck events, I want to know very specific things that are happening in the system, and I want to throw away 99% of my data, and I just care about these specific type events. So hopefully this helps you understand Stream Insight a little bit more. It's a great technology. It's a very exciting technology that can be used in lots of real interesting real world applications. It's an addition to the Microsoft stack of database technologies that you see here, and you can leverage them all together so that you're not precluded by using them all together or mixing and matching them for the needs that that fit your business most appropriately. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. My email alias is Mike, WILM, at Microsoft.com. I'll actually put that here in this slide so you can see it. So feel free to reach out to me, and have a great day. Thanks for your time. Cheers.